This is the Chief and Sean Show, and we are live in the 405.
We're not live, but we are back.
We're live.
No, we're not. We are back.
And we're live.
Weekly, not live.
We're sort of live.
Okay, to everyone listening, or, well...
The people who are listening.
The few that listen, here's the deal. Speed Society is going to be hosting all of these podcasts. You're going to be seeing a ton from these guys. How big are they, Sean?
It's the biggest automotive website in the world, and, I mean, they got a lot of cool shit.
Yeah, we're stoked to be working with guys like that, for sure. Anytime we can align ourselves with other huge automotive people, this is perfect. So,
also, stop listening now and go and like it and comment on it, and the sooner you do that, hopefully, the more podcast episodes you'll hear.
The Crow 405, Murder Nova, Midwest Street Cars, like it, comment on us, tell us who you are, tell us why you listen to it. Keep this going, please. There are people that don't want this to keep going.
There's people right now trying to put an end to this. They don't want us on the air.
And we got guys like Speed Society that want to help us keep it going. So
welcoming us.
Let's do it. Rock and roll. Help everybody out.
And while you're there, check it out. Their website's awesome.
Here we are.
Live.
You were about to say it. All right. We're live.
I'm live right now. There ain't no doubt about it. Every morning.
We're alive. We are alive.
We are alive.
And this is a very, very, very special edition of the Chief and Sean Show.
I believe it is.
We have none other than the one, the only.
Can we say it?
Are we allowed to talk about it?
We're not supposed to talk about it.
It's
but he's
so
here.
Weird.
He's
so weird.
I think we have to talk about it because he's here. We can talk about it because he's here, right?
Right. Hey, I don't know of any time that Manza has ever been mad at us whenever we say it to his face.
No.
He doesn't get mad whenever we talk.
But when we say
we can say the same thing.
Behind his face.
Behind his face, when his face isn't around, and then he gets upset.
And then he gets upset. So introduce yourself, our special guest in the studio.
I know for one, my wife's excited that you're here.
Is she? Why, your wife?
She really likes Manza.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't know. Wow, there you go, Manza.
And she has for a while.
That's really? What he's told me anyway.
That's what she told you. She told you that.
Yeah. No,
she
nice.
Thinks this car is the best one on the show.
It is one of the sexiest cars I've ever seen.
It used to be. You ought to see it now.
Well,
it's all fucked up.
We'll talk about that in a little bit.
But all right. So
I think you can tell us about yourself.
You know the drill here. I mean, introduce yourself to the tens of listeners that we have in the nation, the Chief and Sean Nation. That's what I'm calling it now.
Chief and Sean Nation.
I think it only takes like 11 people to make a nation. And so
I think we probably got 11 people.
We are the Chief and Sean Nation. Introduce yourself to the nation.
First of all, I'm sure we got at least 13 today because I know my wife and my daughter's going to be listening to see if they need to jump on y'all's ass for anything.
And they are the biggest advocators of putting something in Chief and Sean's mouth to shut us up.
They are waiting right now to post bad shit about us on the internet.
Just be careful what you say because mama don't like you fucking with dad and daughter don't like that shit either.
Daughter doesn't like me, period. Yeah. So no matter what I say,
he said that one time that she really don't like you.
And you know, hey, there's not everybody is gonna like me. That's okay. I have one list that
she likes. Sean.
Well, see,
there you go. See,
see,
it goes. Sometimes people like Sean, and sometimes people like Chief, but
I don't
not
like either one of you.
Nobody likes us both.
No,
she just didn't like anybody talking about her dad when he was walking around on crutches.
Let's dive into that right now.
Let's get into it.
Started the whole thing with Manza. Okay, so we decided to do this stupid podcast thing, and we figure we got at least 10 or 11 people that want to listen to it, and so we started doing it here in the office. And one of the first ones we did. Was when we got back from SEMA.
It's the infamous number 3. Nobody has ever heard the number three episode.
If you got to hear it, you were very lucky because that episode went away because there was a lot of backlash. You still what?
I still have it.
You have the number 3.
I do. That's I still have a
first
way
one
that,
I ever listened to.
I still
sucks, Mons. I'm sorry.
I still have a way that we could all listen
to
it.
The infamous. Okay, when we get down here, we're going to listen to it.
Okay. All right.
Well,
you know I don't. Yeah. But Aaron, she could bring it up.
The infamous number 3 podcast that went away and was taken off the air really quickly because we were at SEMA and we were hanging out with Manza and we were having a great fucking time. And we had a really good time.
It was awesome.
But he was injured. Okay. So he had karate kicked a
man down.
He karate kicked somebody who was trying to steal his tackle box out of his pickup, right?
And his Skittles and beef jerky was in there.
And his Skittles and beef jerky was in there, right? So it was it was a legit deal. So he tries to kick this guy. This guy's breaking into his truck. He sees a guy. He runs out there. He tries to. The guy takes off running, and he tries to karate kick him. And he kicked him. He did his job. But then he fell down, and he hurt himself.
Landed on the curb.
So he's on crutches.
I did knock him on his ass, though. It's just
right.
Yeah.
I got the kicking shit figured out. The landing I didn't have quite figured out.
You didn't perfect that shit yet.
So being the badass that Monza is. He fights this dude in the street. He goes down. He gets injured, and he's got to be on crutches. So he goes to the SEMA show, even though he's on crutches, knowing that he's gonna have to walk around everywhere out there. And we had to park like we only had two rental cars, I think, for the whole lot of us, and we had to park like a mile or 2 miles,
at least a mile
from the damn
place. Yeah, it was a long time, a long ways.
And we caught a ride to go to get our. To get our rental car, we caught a ride with
somebody.
And we're driving to go get our rental car. And as we're driving, we see Monza, and he's clicking it down the road on his crutches on the sidewalk. And the look on his face was just so he was just done.
Yeah, it looked like he had had enough.
And there's people all around him, walking with him, talking to him. God only knows what they're bugging him about. And yeah. Trying to take pictures with him, and he's just wanting to smoke his cigarettes and click down the road on these crutches. And for whatever reason, at that time, the look on Monza's face of just being done, because he's, you know,
it killed him.
I don't know that he was a big people person back then. And so I don't know why it was so funny, but we just like.
But we were also, man, we had been up for days. We were all tired. Yes. And whenever we're like that, it doesn't matter what it is. We just fucking laugh.
And the whole time we were with Monza, we were fucking with him about his crutches and
his little scooter, his hover around,
and he would go park that thing behind a Pepsi dispenser or something so he could smoke a cigarette. People wouldn't bug him, and we just
and get a soda pop. Remember?
Yeah, for 50 cents.
We were drinking $5 freaking beers, and he's like, "Dude, I found a machine that's got 50 cent soda pops."
And we fucking died. It was made for the people who worked there. So they didn't have to pay the outrageous prices or wait in the lines and all that. And Manza's back there smoking cigarettes, drinking 50 cent pops with them.
So he had us laughing hysterically the whole week we were at SEMA. And then on the plane ride home, talking about stuff and we start get to laughing and giggling.
And it was really, really late.
And it was really late. The plane ride was a midnight flight. Everybody on there is trying to sleep. And we're just dying laughing. And so that was the first time I had actually heard Monza laugh.
And it was like, genuine
his
laugh.
Real laugh. You know what I mean?
Hilarious.
And he starts this high-pitched, like, giggle. And
it
dude,
was the funniest shit I've ever
heard. I couldn't stop laughing. Like, it was uncontrollable.
It was.
You know what I mean? And these people kept shushing us.
This old lady behind
Monza,
us.
Monza looks over at me, and he goes, "Did she just fucking shush me?" And, dude, I'm dying laughing, right? It was one of the funniest moments of my entire life on the airplane ride home. So then we get home and we go to do the podcast, and we talked about everything that we thought was hilarious at the SEMA show, and we just went off on everything. Well, we didn't take into consideration that once we got home, he wasn't there with us anymore, so it may not have been funny to everybody like it was to us. And they felt terrible for his family and everybody really felt terrible for him, because he's got to walk around on crutches for a fucking week at the SEMA show and deal with idiots all day. So it may have been in poor taste, out of context, but if they would have been there with us and we were all laughing together, I think they would have understood that we were really laughing with you. You just weren't here with us. You know what I mean? Like, so
I'm a poor taste type cat too.
And that's
I don't care if it's funny. It's funny
with us and the way it is at the shop and on the show and everything we do. There's just nothing sacred between this group normally. Yes. And Monza is really good about that. When we're in person, we can make fun of whatever we want and he'll laugh right there with us. And he can tell us to eat shit. We can tell him to eat shit. We all have a good time.
Well, if I didn't feel like he was our friend, then I wouldn't do that with him.
Exactly. So, well, once it went down and it hit the air, we caught a lot of backlash from Monza's fans and Monza's family that we were making fun of his injury. And I don't think that they understood that we were more laughing about the fact that he was just not built for, big crowds of people at that time.
Or crutches.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sucked.
So, and it was funny to us that when he told us how he hurt his leg was some guy was trying to steal the tackle box out of his pickup. I mean, it was just so funny because, you know, he's a camouflage wearing, hunting, fishing bad motherfucker. And so that was the funniest thing ever to us is that, you know, he's fighting a guy in his front yard over a tackle box. And then when we asked him, like, why can't you just get a new one? He said, my Skittles and my beef jerky was in there, you know? And like, that's just...
and I'm sure it would have been one of those deals where if we made fun of it now that he's healed all up, everything would have been great.
Yeah, but
nobody
at the time,
would have had a problem with it. But at the time, he was still hurt, you know, and his family, you know, they care about him.
They have They have to deal with him. So when he gets off the plane and gets home, he's probably going to be laid up for a week because he's hurt from walking around at SEMA. And you have two assholes.
Fucking armpits are raw from walking around on fucking crutches fucking 4 miles a day. I mean, shit.
You don't walk that far not on crutches.
No. I mean, the second day, finally Dave went in there and they wasn't even going to give me a cart. And Dave started crawling in people's ass and got me one of them little motorized scooters.
Yeah.
That was way better. But they wouldn't let me drive the sumbitch to the car.
Yeah.
That's chicken shittery.
So... for what, I don't know, you know, sometimes we do things in poor taste, and that may have been one of them. But at the time, we didn't know what we were doing. Fuck, we still don't know what we're doing.
We piss people off on a daily basis,
right. But we didn't want to piss off Monza.
It irritated me because we're friends, you know, and it kind of hurt my feelings. But it bothered my wife and my daughter and them a whole lot more than it did me.
And well, I can understand that.
Yeah, I can really too. Can. But we definitely didn't mean to hurt your feelings. No, it wasn't. It wasn't like it was meant for that. I mean, we laughed about it like you were here with us.
Yeah, well, to us it was a situation that we were all in at SEMA, and we just thought it was a funny situation to be in. Now, once we get home and once everybody started jumping our ass about it, we kind of realized that, well, you know, they weren't there with us. The people that you know, they didn't see how much of a group we were there and how much of a good time we had on the plane and stuff. So I think it could have been just associated as us just picking on him, and we really, that wasn't the intention, but sometimes it comes off that way, you know.
Yeah, but instead, we had to talk about it, you know, and we did actually get in trouble, and people asked us to take it down, and we weren't going to. But then, you know, we kind of had like a little meeting, and we were like, "Yeah, look, we don't want to make Monza any more pissed off than what he already is at us." So
yeah, we
took it down.
We like Monza, and we don't want Monza to hate us or his family to hate us. But so we took it down. So that episode went away, and so ever since then, we've had this kind of running thing that we don't talk about Manza on the show because it could be taken the wrong way, or we'll say it the wrong way or whatever. And
yeah,
and then we'll get in trouble. So that's how it all started. And then also the help to even go back, like the Manza thing, like his name, you know, his nickname was Monza, right? Mayhem Monza.
Thank you, Sean.
That was,
Started calling me Monza one night at Sonic. Remember?
Yeah. No.
It freaking stuck.
Well, I'm anybody who knows me,
you probably don't remember. You were drunk that night.
Well, and anybody who knows me knows that I am fucking horrible with names. I have, and you drive a Monza, you know, so.
Or he did.
I didn't know. You know,
farm truck still calls me Monzilla.
Monzilla, So he had a Monza back in the day. That was his race car. It was a fast, wicked little bitch, and it had a small block, and it kicked ass. It was a top five car, and it was a Cash Days contender, and the whole deal.
If you could keep pistons in that bitch, it'd run.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, back then you were doing a lot of shit with something that, you know, not everybody was trying to do. So
yeah,
but then it went from Monza to Manza?
It went to Manza because whenever I race somebody on the street, all of my race pack data. Yeah, I save it. I save it under what race it was. And then in the comments, I don't always do it, but I try to tell a little bit about the race, what I felt like happened in the car, what the shocks were set at, you know, all that stuff so that I could go back and look. And
this is in the data logger.
This
on
is
your
in
car.
The data logger on my car. And
he's showing me the data.
There is no Monza race on there. It's a Manza race.
So when I looked at the data in his car one day, and I'm looking at the shocks and what they're doing, and I'm trying to compare it to mine from the same race. And I'm going, where's your pass against
when
Monza?
You raced Monza?
And he goes, oh, it's over here. And I wasn't looking for MA. So I was looking for MO, you know, cause that's how you spell fucking exactly. Monza. But Sean had it in there.
I don't think Sean did that.
I think it was Lutz.
I think our buddy Jeff Lutz did that one night.
But man,
whenever he used to, I wouldn't even get out of the car. And he is so gung ho that he would run over and he'd have my race pack and he'd be downloading it before I even got out of the car.
And Jeff Lutz can't spell Monza, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that our good friend Jeff Lutz put Manza in there. So and ever since then, we called them Manza.
Well, because we had to keep referring back to, you know, well, what about the Manza pass? Because that's exactly what it was called in his computer. So then before you know it, we're calling him Manza, and then the whole shop's calling him Manza, and then it just...
And then it's like, hey...
Well, it must have been a pretty fast pass if you keep referring back to it.
It was. At the time, it was his fastest.
That's the reason it was one of the fastest passes I ever made. Right. You know, and it was one of the ones where me and you, every race we ever have is within a fender.
Yeah, you know, that's why. I mean, so we kept going back to it for all these changes, and every time it was like, "Yeah, but in the Manza pass," and we just start laughing.
And
you
then,
know?
And then, you know, at first it was a funny joke, and then after that it was Manza, you know, Manza this and Manza that, and it's kind of,
and it allows us to talk about Manza on the show without talking about Manza.
Exactly,
we're talking about Manza.
We just started talking about Manza.
You remember racing the Manza when you had the blower on your car over there by across from B&R by the Chevy place there. It was the a cash way? Days.
You
racing? No, we were racing for the number one and number two spot back when you had the blower car.
Oh, yeah.
And we remember we're driving from B&R over there, list racing. We raced Doc.
Yeah,
and
that was a shakeup night.
Yeah, and we got back over there, and he's like, "God dang," he said, "I could not get away from that little fucking car."
It was right there the whole race. Hey, and that's whenever, I mean, I felt like what I had going on with my car at the time was, felt like it was unbeatable.
Well, it was unbeatable at the time. You know? Nobody had been even close.
Oh, you beat me, but I was right there.
Yeah,
but he was right there, and we were all like, "Holy shit, Monza's for real."
Small block in that Monza.
Little small block nitrous car's for real right now. Yeah. So, yeah, that man back. Goddamn, that was badass back in the day at Gateway.
That was so sweet. We drove our cars.
You remember the night I met you
in Guthrie?
No, on 39th. You had never seen my car. Met me.
Okay, yeah, and I remember now. I was selling T-shirts back then out of the back of my fucking truck.
Yeah, and you asked me what kind of car you got, and I told you, blah, blah, blah. And he said, "What it run?" I said, "It runs 950s in the quarter." And he's like, "You're fucking shitting me. Come bring that motherfucker out." Well, then the next weekend, we were in Guthrie with
him. Yeah, because he said, "Well, yeah, here's this guy that I had never even met before, and he's wanting to buy a T-shirt from the website," which I was peddling the same shit we're peddling now. I was
out of the Suburban.
Out of the Suburban with my Weimaraner dog in there with me, Chief, and... He's telling me he's got this big tired, lightweight car with a small block, runs 950s. And I was like, "Wait a minute, you got a 950 street race car, and why ain't you out there street racing with us? Like that would be a competitive car back then." Hell, that was what, 2000 fucking,
six, probably.
That was probably 10 years
that
ago.
That was before Sean was around.
Yeah.
And so
it was about the time, it was like a month or two.
Yeah, because the only time I had ever seen you, you were pulled over on 39th in some 68 or 69 Camaro with a blower hanging out the hood.
So, and then you brought the car out, and we went to Guthrie that next weekend.
See, I wasn't
and
there.
You brought the car. We went up to Guthrie, and that road up there was
Blacktop.
Lowry's is what everybody called it. Lowry's. Yeah. I guess that was probably, was that one of the farms around there, or the land around there was owned by Lowry's? I don't know, but. It was Highway 77 up there north of Guthrie, and off that bridge by the railroad tracks, we were racing there. And dude, that is the worst fucking street race spot in history.
It's horrible.
But for whatever reason, it was some of the most fun times we had on the street, because, you know, back before we were putting the cars in the ditches up there. But I mean, like, you know, back then, dude, and it was so terrible because we'd be racing. So all the people would be out there watching the race on the bridge. Two cars would be in the road getting ready to race. And then the train would come, and the train's 50 foot from the road, and we're all parked on the other side of the tracks. Yeah. So when the train came, we just all had to wait because we couldn't even get to our cars. If the cops came, we'd just be all standing out there. Yeah. We couldn't even get to the cars. And then sometimes the train would just stop, and we'd be like,
son of a bitch.
How long is this going to last? You know, we couldn't even get back to our car. But narrow,
the
super
ditches
narrow
were
road.
10 foot tall.
Ditches are just terrible on both sides, and we're out there racing cars on blacktop quarter mile. That was fucking stupid. And Monza come out there, and he seen the road, and he was like, "Whoa." I was like, "Yeah, buddy, that's a tough little motherfucker right there." And he ended up racing the DeMosses, and the DeMosses up there, they're known for that spot. They rule that spot, and they do a lot of street racing. They've been in cash days. They've been all over the place. They've been on the show a couple times, and you know, they haven't really got to show what they're actually capable of on the TV show part, because you only get really one or two shots at that deal. And but they have been a big part of street racing around here, especially up that way. And dude, they start mouthing off to Monza, and I still to this day have not seen him that mad. He was fucking livid.
Monza, and my fucking crew was gone. They got caught on the other side of the fucking train that was come through.
Oh, yeah. Red Truck Jeremy.
So
right?
I'm fixing to fight this whole family, and my crew can't get over here to help me.
No, seriously, there's a train, and it's just us standing out there in the demon houses, and, you know, they got 30 fucking family members.
Well, they knew
there.
Not to park on the other side.
Yeah, because they live there. They ain't parking on the other side. Yeah. So, Monza's screaming at him, get that piece of shit out in the road. I'm going to fucking drag your ass. And I was like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to fit in perfect with us. He did, too. He put that little motherfucker down through there. He forced it down that narrow-ass road. I was impressed.
With my old lady sitting in the passenger seat.
Yep, that's exactly, yeah.
I'm like, you want to ride, babe? Hell yeah.
She's fucking nice. Crazy for going down that road, because that road's fucking narrow. And I was watching him go down through there, and I was like, yep. I was like, he's gonna fit in just perfect with our little group. And I think that was the last pass you made in Guthrie, right?
Yeah.
But we don't like racing up there with the fast car. Saul.
That's yeah. You got to drive on that road.
Yeah. Saul Sosa put his in the ditch up there, flipped it up on one side.
On one side.
Flipped it back over and had it back out Saturday night on 39th.
Yep. 2 days later. Yeah. He was up there for a Thursday night list race. One of the DMOSs wanted to race him up there. And that's where they always wanted to race people, was up there. It pissed everybody off. But we'd go up there. And Saul went up there and raced him and put it in the ditch, flipped it up on one side. And then Saturday night had it out at Sonic. There's still grass coming out between the wheel and the tire.
It was all beat up.
He was out there racing, though. That was when we used to give away the awards, remember? We gave away Street Racer awards on the website.
Yep.
And he got Hardcore Street Racer of the Year. I think Derek got it one time, too.
Doc got it, too,
yeah. So, but that's kind of the history. Since then, obviously, Mons has been a big time force in the 405. On the list, he's always, you know, always top five, you know, been number one a few times, a long reign at the top of the list, and very consistent. And out of town, it's just, there's very few people that you want to take out of town besides him, you know what I mean? Because he's going to do work. You know, he's going to do work.
Yeah, he's got a really good record against out of town.
Really good record against out of town. And what sucks is that the last time he raced the Detroit guys, out-of-town guys, Brian Davis was putting it on him pretty good, crossed the center line, you know, had Monza beat, but crossed the center line, so Monza got paid. But then when Detroit came back around, Monza's car was having fits, giving him trouble, and he even told me straight up a few days before that he wasn't sure that he'd put it up against any of those guys until he gets it figured out. So, lo and behold, same type of race with Brian Davis. He crosses the center line again, and now look where we're at. Son of a bitch.
So,
and I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I mean,
no.
You got luck of the draw and ended up beside him, and it cost you your car. But, man, yeah. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. If my shit would have been ready, I'd have been right there beside him.
Yep.
And that's, you know, that's it's crazy. You look back through this shit that we do, and one little thing can mean everything, you know? So it's a lot of crazy shit like that over the years. So you had your Monza car, the small block. It, did really well in cash days, did really well against out of towners, did really well on the list. You know, it did work. And, but it was an old, unsafe, out of date race car.
All square tube. I mean, everybody thinks it was light. With that car with a small block, weighed 3160 with me in it.
Well, back then to us, that was light. Most of our cars were 36. I mean, you know, 3100 back then was actually a pretty lightweight street car. And because I remember when the El Camino, when we bought it, and it was 3150 or whatever, and we were like, yeah.
I'm still trying to get to 31. Shit.
But eventually you sold the Monza. And built you, well, you had a Mustang for a little while there. In the
yeah,
class
a small
racing.
Tire car.
Yeah, you did the 10.5-inch tire stuff for a while. Did really well in that. Got championship or two. Back
two,
to back.
Back to back.
Two time. He had that on his jacket.
Oh, two-time Monza.
Yeah, he was a two-time champion on the 10.5 tire stuff. So he's been a, you know, big drag racer around here, especially in this group and at the track even and everywhere else. And now you have a 70, what year Camaro?
72 Rally Sport Camaro.
A beautiful car. Everybody, you know, no one can deny how nice that car is and how fast that car is. And that's the, what you call a split bumper car. That's why your car is called the split bumpers, because it has two smaller bumpers on both sides. And that was the upgraded Camaro, right?
So Rally Sport package. Rally Sport. It was a $695 package you could put on the car.
Man, can you imagine there. Nowadays? What'd that car cost brand new?
$3,200.
God I'll take 10 of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right.
If
now,
I'd have known now or knew then what I know now, I'd have had a dozen of them sitting in a shop somewhere.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
But it was a true rally sport car. Yeah. We did cut it up, fuck it up, and make it fast as hell.
Hey, I'll never look down on somebody for cutting up a car.
Cool. Hey, you hear people all the time bitching about, you know, him cutting up a real rally sport car. And I think it's cool as fuck. It's your fucking car, man. You do whatever the fuck you want. If you want to cut it up into little bitty pieces and make it fast, you go for it. And now, geez, I've seen some updated pictures of that thing.
It's really cut up now.
It's really cut up now. But as evolution, man. Evolution. If you want to stay competitive, that's what you got to do. You got to keep working on the car. That's why your Facebook is Sinister Split Bumper Monza. Because now you have the split bumper Camaro, and it's sinister because it's all black and badass. And then you everybody still knows you as Monza for whatever reason. So your Facebook is Sinister Split Bumper Monza. Everybody go right now, shoot him a like, check him out, follow him, share his shit, you know, help everybody find him on Facebook. And then your website is sinistersplitbumper.com.
Right? Correct. Yep.
And buy a t-shirt, you know, koozie, hat, whatever you can get off of him. Support the guys who do this for a living now and really have to make this work. And all the questions we're going to be pulling for Monza here in a little bit are from the Chief and Sean Show Facebook page. So
I'm scared.
If you're
there's some good ones.
You should be scared. There are some good questions. If you're listening on iTunes, be sure and subscribe to the Chief and Sean Show. Leave us a review, and that's the way that we're going to climb up those charts and keep the show rolling. Cause we got a lot of listeners, literally tens of listeners that are downloading it. But in order to climb,
of listeners,
yeah, I think we're up to 11. I believe of so, listeners. Man.
Few people have been, hey, at least one person told his buddy about it.
Soon we may be teens of listeners.
Teens.
And then twenties of listeners.
Twenties.
Can you imagine?
I don't think we can get to twenties.
Hey, and if we ever make it to forties or thirties of listeners, dude, that's fucking big time.
It is.
So, But the reviews and stuff, that's how we're going to go up to the charts and keep the show rolling. And I don't know if anybody paid fucking attention because they sure are there to bitch about us when we fuck it up. But last week with Birdman, the fucking audio was on point. I apologize if this week's audio sucks and right now you can't hear me because I don't know what it sounds like. But last week, we fucking nailed it.
You bastards better be happy. Nobody says anything.
No.
But if it sounds like shit, that's all we hear. Sounds like shit.
Get some mics.
Get
your audio guy.
Yeah. Do this.
I get tired of reading it.
I get private messages and stuff talking about, look, this is how you need to do it.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, well, you wasn't there.
We're trying, player. Yeah. We're trying. We really are. Last week was a good one, though. We did pretty good last week. And I'm hoping that this week's going to be just as good, if not better, because we got Manza in the show.
Thanks, Sean. Every nickname I've gotten the last 10 years has come from you.
I can't help it. Horrible with names.
Except your own. When Sean gets drunk or when he's drinking,
oh my God.
You know, and he introduces himself to people he already knows with his full name, dude, that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
He don't just say it. He yells it.
Yeah,
he
people, they'll walk up to him and they'll be like, hey, what's up, man? And they know him. They've met him before. They've talked to him before. And he literally doesn't care to even remember. He doesn't remember
Sean
them.
Ellington.
He doesn't care. He sticks his hand out and he goes, Sean Ellington. And they're like, yeah. No, we know. I know you. And dude, it just kills me. I love it.
I'm horrible with names and people and things like that.
Dates.
Yeah, dates, months, you know, stuff like that.
Birthdays.
Yeah.
Anniversaries.
Wedding anniversaries.
Yeah. But that's why we love you, Sean.
Yeah.
We're in the truth meth shack here. The meth shack of truth. I know the questions are looking just out of hand, but one big question that I saw, how did the story of Doc and Monza, the love story of Doc and Monza, even better than the Twilight love story. This is the love story of Doc and Monza.
How did that start? How does it become a saga?
What do you mean love story?
Well, Chief and Sean have their own love.
There's so many stories between me and Doc. Which one are you talking about?
I mean, you know.
How did y'all become friends?
As you say on the show, you guys are best friends. You're hunting buddies. You're racing friends. You know.
I met Doc one day through a mutual friend. He come pulling up in his street beast giving people rides up and down the road, doing flaming burnouts
so
up and down the road.
Changed.
No.
Because he still does that.
Yeah. I mean, and and then he wanted to.
So it was like a blind date? Or what?
He just kind of appeared one day and,
never
and
left,
we started talking, and then he wanted to know how to make his car faster, and I told him some shit. I said, I got the Jags catalog out. I said, you need to order this shit right here. And about 4 days later, he called me. I showed up over at his shop, and he's got boxes of new shit everywhere. Help me make my car fast.
Was he wearing a Skid Row t-shirt?
It's probably Motley Crue.
Oh, yeah.
That's one thing that you two have in common.
He's close to my age. We both listen to the same kind of music.
What kind of music is that?
That'd be 80s. Hair metal.
Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with that.
Hair metal. Dude,
Cinderella, Motley Crue, Skid Row. I mean, they all. That's all I listen to. You go to my truck right now, it's on Hair Nation. That's what you're going to listen to.
So you guys, like, go to concerts and stuff together, too?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I go. Fuck yeah.
Damn.
We always imagine when you guys are going out of town and you're riding together.
Hey,
we'll see you in the truck and we'll say, "What do you think they're listening to right now?"
We do that. We don't know if you know.
Motor Red, watch your price for flight.
Every time we see you guys, like, hey, the first time this came about was PRI. The first time we ever went to PRI, and you guys rented that little fuck. You guys rented a car to drive up there, right?
No, he borrowed one from his friend. What the fuck? Yeah, it was one of them little half electric cars.
It was like a little
Prius or some shit. It was a Prius, yeah.
Hey, and we died laughing, thinking about what you guys might have been listening to.
We hid that bitch in the parking garage and never got it back out the whole time we were there.
They drove from Oklahoma City to Indianapolis to PRI show in a Prius. Jamming,
listening to Motley Crue,
man. Fucking ass.
Hey, the whole ride up there, we're going, that's what they drove up here, and so we're dying laughing.
We're just in tears.
And so we're like, what do you guys think that they're listening to? And just the oldies but goodies,
God,
that we came up with.
And then
just...
we were trying to figure out, like, so you think Mons is the air guitar type cat, or is he a drummer on the dash type dude? You know what I mean? Is Doc over there just wailing on the air guitar while Mons
here I go again on my own.
Go down this lonely road. Just in a Prius.
And we just died laughing.
The windows are down because Mons is just Marlboro Reds as fast as
he can. No, he wouldn't let me smoke into that damn thing because his friend didn't smoke.
Man, it probably took you guys 18 hours.
I had to buy one of them fake cigarettes and puff on those cigarettes all the way up there.
You had one of those on the plane on the... to Vegas.
Yeah,
dude,
he was smoking.
He was smoking it.
We'll be signing autographs with Mons. The fucking greatest thing ever. We're signing autographs with Mons. There's three or four of us there. We got to do it for 2 or 3 hours straight. Take pictures, sign autographs at SEMA. We're having a good time with the fans. We're all hungover. We've been up for 3 days straight, and you just turn around. Mons is gone. He just left, and then he shows back up 15 minutes later, and you're like, "What the fuck?" And he's like, "I went to smoke." I was like, "Man, Mons need his own fucking sign so that he can just put it on the table. It says smoke break or 15 minute on break.
Be back in 15 minutes.
I go with him every fucking time, too.
Yeah, he does.
I'd be like, you going out to smoke? All right, I'm coming with you.
Oh, it's funny, dude. God damn, that shit's funny. Imagine them in that fucking Prius jamming up there the whole way. We were, that yeah, was some just, funny shit, dude.
Just
hey,
dying.
My family and Doc's family, we all went to a Kiss concert in Tulsa a couple years ago.
And
we meet that afternoon to go to the concert, and Doc shows up with like earrings and makeup and shit on, and I'm like,
he was wearing makeup?
Whoa. Yeah, so me and my old lady, we get about
Doc.
15,
Doc was wearing
20
makeup?
Yards separated from him. We won't even walk with him because he's all decked out. You
he
know?
Decks out in a Kiss thing? You're shitting me.
No, it's not a Kiss concert. I mean, a costume, but he's got, like, he wears his earring, and he's got bandana on his head, and I think he's even got some makeup shit on his eyes.
Wow. We have to, okay, someone remind
pictures?
Me.
I probably got a picture of that somewhere.
Wow.
That
picture's got to come out.
If we could, we would trade that for a lot of things. A good picture to have right there. I had no idea that Doc actually gets that far into. I knew you guys were into hair metal, but so
yeah, I don't dress up and shit.
Oh, damn.
Has he ever asked you if you would dress up with him?
No. That'd be gay.
That'd be gay.
And we have a running joke too that because, you know, Doc is the first one to tell you that I'm not racing my, remember back in the day when we were racing, if they ever drew each other, Doc, I'm not racing my buddy Monza. We're best fucking friends.
And Monza be over there getting his car ready.
And no shit, dude. Monza be getting his car ready. He'd be like, yeah, well, whatever he says, you know?
Yeah.
So we always had this running joke like, the friendship isn't as even as
it's one-sided.
Doc really, 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 truly in his heart has a big spot for you, Monza. We can tell.
Doc's a good guy. There's no doubt about it. He's a good friend to have.
What the fuck does your hat say?
It says I don't dial 911.
Oh my fucking God.
That's so sweet.
It means I'll break my fucking hip to kick the shit out of you.
Fuck yeah. Monza's hat right now says in big, humongous letters, we don't dial 911. And it's got a picture of a 38 pistol on it.
That, 38 special.
You are badass, man.
Man.
What is this? What does your shirt say?
Mr. Paint.
Oh. That's fucking awesome. That's fucking awesome. We don't dial 911. We'll karate kick you in the street for those Skittles and beef jerky.
Hell yeah.
You know, you go fishing, and the fish are biting. You don't have time to put your pole down and light a cigarette. So you keep this beef jerky chew in there. You can just take a dip of beef jerky, and you don't really want to smoke as much. You can just keep fishing, slaying them, throwing them in an ice chest.
Nice.
There you go.
Motherfucker stole my beef jerky. That pissed me off.
I didn't know that that's why.
And that's how you do it if you're a fisherman.
So
don't smoke.
If they're biting, you know, that bite might only last so long. You don't want to stop and smoke. It ain't like signing autographs.
You can stop that anytime. You just come back, they're still there.
So you keep slaying them, throwing them in the ice chest. Well, see, you tens of listeners, 11s of listeners had no idea you were going to learn about fishing on this show. And now, this is a...
I'm learning, too.
We're all learning. I don't know anything about fishing other than I know I can, you know, I try and catch a buzz. That's about all I ever catch.
I know that whenever I go fishing, I try to throw it clear across the lake. If I see somebody else throw out there, I try to throw a little bit further than what they do. That's the extent of my fishing. Now I look over at them like, I'm like...
Yeah, flick of the wrist, bitch. You see that?
Just like that.
Look at my Zebco 33 go.
Hey, I got a few Zebco. There's actually one in the back of my pickup right now.
I have to have the one that you just push the deal
that's
in.
That's what a Zebco 33.
Not the one that you flip up over because I don't know how to work that.
Yeah, he'll bird nest that bitch.
Be standing there for hours trying to fucking make it back together.
Yeah.
God, we should all go fishing together, man.
Let's go.
We should go fishing with. We should have a show, a TV show called Fishing with Manza.
Yeah,
and he takes somebody from Street Outlaws out there with him every fucking time. Can you imagine? He'd be bitching at us to shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
dipping beef jerky.
He'd probably get smacked inside of him with a pole.
Probably. So one of the other things that the internet is buzzing about is, you know, Youngblood, your son Brandon, who has been a big, big part of what we do for a long time. And I mean, dude, it's like we saw him grow up. Well, I mean, when he first started coming out to the races, he was what?
13, 14.
Yeah. I mean, we literally saw this kid go from 13 or 14 to an adult. And every weekend he was out, even when you weren't racing, even when me and Sean were out in the, you know, red truck or his you know, red truck or his white truck or whatever, we're out just racing, you know, 13 second Hondas and crap like that. Youngblood was out there every weekend. You could always count on Youngblood being out there racing.
And I don't know how many times he's got races for me.
Yeah. The 19, he'll walk took around, the white truck out to.
If I see him, I'm like, hey, man, I'm looking for a race.
Yeah,
otherwise,
yeah.
I wouldn't be here. And, you know, 5 minutes later, he'd come back with a race for me.
Then he'd flag it.
You know.
And he would actually go. A lot of people, they don't like Youngblood because of how he was taken on the show. But, you know, Youngblood has many different emotions and many different, you know, he's very, very passionate about what he's doing out there.
Yeah,
so we've seen all of his different traits, and we take the good with the bad, just like our own. You know what I mean? We all throw our ass around. We all act stupid. We all say things we wish we didn't say. But we know each other, and we know that 90% of the time we're not like that. You know what I mean? But that, man, that 10% of the time, they just happen to catch him on camera every time. And
people, and that's what they look for.
Right. And they push it out of him. You know what I mean? And so, that a lot of people don't understand that Brandon is a big part of what we do, always has been, and he's really passionate about his old man's car, and he's really passionate about this street racing shit, and, you know, but none of us have ever hated him or hate him. We've all had our spats with him. We've all yelled at him. He's yelled at us. We've gone back and forth, but in the end, he's one of us, you know what I mean? Like, you know, we'd do anything for him, just like we have, you know what I mean? I mean, hell, I give him money for making it through high school, you know what I mean? Because,
yeah,
dude, in this day and age, you know what I mean, to do that, where we came from and where we're coming from, you know, and our background and stuff, dude, just doing that's a big deal. So, you know, we watched this kid graduate, go through high school, you know what I mean? Like, that actually was part of our racing and part of street racing is seeing him do this. And, you know, he would borrow cars or drive a car for somebody or drive his own car, break it or whatever, and Sean would go get him a trailer, you know? I mean, we've all done a lot for Brandon, and we still would, and we still think a lot of Brandon, but the way that he's been put out there on the show, they've only showed one side of him, and so nobody's got to see what Brandon really is.
And he's really young, and we've all had people hate on us the way that they hate on it, and he just didn't really, I don't feel like he knew how to take it.
He won't even come out and help me with my car anymore because of the way the show portrayed him. Like the deal with Farm Truck and Asian, that was totally, he was set up. He told them his car wasn't going to be ready to race Farm Truck, and a certain fat ass redhead told him, let's go do the call out anyway, whether you're ready or not. And, you know, then she stuck a knife in his back and made him look like an asshole.
And that's
just like the night. I mean, he jumped on you when we and you raced. Well, he doesn't think nothing of that because he grew up with you.
Yep.
That was just normal. The way he would, you know, you would jump on his ass if he needed it.
Yep.
That's the way he talks to y'all. He's grown up. I mean, he looks up to you two like he does me.
And we consider Brandon one of our family too because we've seen him go through it. And that's why we actually give a shit whenever he is upset. So, you know, just like just here not too long ago, everybody was yelling at people for stepping in the tracks on the road or stepping in the puddle on the road. And it got to be kind of a funny deal that people were yelling about anybody stepping in the road. Right. So anybody steps in the track, somebody's going to bitch at him. Well, Brandon was standing he wasn't even in the tracks. He was just near them. And Alicia, my wife, she's walking up to the starting line with me cause I'm going up to flag the next race. And man, she was just messing with him. And she was like, get out of the tracks. And she was being a smartass. But man, he was so emotional that night about the races that were going to happen and all the stuff that's been behind him that, you know, he took that as us bitching at him and he got all pissed off. And, you know, of course we yelled back and forth and then he went and sat in the truck. Well, if I didn't give a shit about him, I would have let it go at that. But I went over there to the truck and I said, hey man, you know, she didn't mean nothing by that. You know what I mean? Same as if I say something about you and he gets mad at me. I don't mean nothing by it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we really do care about Brandon and we don't want him to hate us. And we damn sure don't want him to not come out because of the way that people are.
Exactly.
But man, can you imagine if we were 13 or 14 having to deal with this kind of group at that age? You know what I mean? Like it would have been, that's got to be one of the toughest things ever because this group, that's all we do is we shit on each other all day, every day. And we all assume that it's no big deal, but to a teenager or a adolescent or whatever coming up, you know, that's gotta be tough, you know, to deal with us shitting on him or whatever, but it's nothing compared to when you have millions of people shitting.
Yeah.
On
what the people on Facebook are gonna
say.
Man,
when you have millions of people shitting on you, that's tough. It was extremely tough for me the first two seasons of doing this because people hated on us so much. And it was like, I would get depressed reading it and I'd just sit there and be like, God, dude, like why the fuck am I putting myself through this? You know what I mean? Like that's not even me, you know, that they're talking shit about. That's one little piece of me that they don't even fucking know. Yeah. But being 30 years old, it's easier for me to move on than it would be for, you know, a guy like Brandon. He was young and pumped full of testosterone and pissed off. You know what I mean? So and we went to bat for him a couple times on the internet, but it didn't help. It just made things worse. If it seemed like if we even drew attention to it, then more people would jump on him and more people would talk shit about him.
He eventually shut down his Facebook page. I mean, he won't come out and help me. I mean, and all Brandon knows is street racing.
Yeah.
I mean, I guarantee you he can back you up perfectly in your tracks. And y'all know he knows everything about it. I mean, he may not be the car builder or the tuner, but when you're sitting there in the road and you need some help, he will get you right and make sure that you can go down.
And he doesn't mind helping either. And he doesn't mind helping. He doesn't mind racing. Yeah. And he doesn't mind, you know, doing big inner security, he's whatever we got to do. And when he would go out and we weren't there, he would make sure that they
ran shit. Yeah, I've been there nights.
He made sure they didn't
where hit our, he runs everything.
They didn't hit our spots at the wrong times. They didn't leave trash everywhere. I mean,
he would set security up. Yep. He would keep people out of jail. Yep.
Exactly. And
he's kind of a little chief.
It sucks that he's shut down so much because of the Facebook crap and because of all the shit talking, because now we don't get to see him as much. We don't talk to him as much. And so it's really hard for anything we say to seem genuine because, you know what I mean? Like if we were to see him and say, "Hey man, glad you're out here." You know, I almost feel like I'm a smart ass by saying it. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I'm afraid to go over there because the cameras are always there.
I wish he'd get over it because I'm telling you right now, Brandon can smart ass with the best of them.
Oh yeah.
And he's a fucking smart ass.
He can get shit started.
You know, that's fine. There's no problem with that.
He was a big part of my team. I mean, I had to learn to race over because the last thing Brandon would always do when I got ready to make a pass, before Chief would pull us up, he'd open the door, fist bump me and tell me, "Be careful, Dad."
Wow. Yeah.
That I miss. Yeah, he's never there anymore. So well, I've had to kind of learn to do it over.
Well, hopefully he'll figure out his whatever he's got going on and he'll come back out.
Yeah, and it sucks because he can't be himself. You know what I mean? Because they're not going to show.
But he can. He just needs to not get on the internet and read any of that shit. Who gives a shit?
But it's like they had a fucking hard on for him. They won't show none of the good shit, the good side about him. They want to make him their villain. Right. On the show.
Well, it's because the 10% of Brandon that is the smart ass and the loud mouth and the emotional and the mad and the pissed off and the happy or whatever, the 10% of that is great for what, you know, they want to put on television. But then the other part of Brandon is, you know, he wants to help everybody. He wants to be a part of everything. And that doesn't work for them because he's supposed to be, same thing with like Monkey, you know. Monkey helps everybody out there, and everybody knows that Monkey would help. And if you needed Monkey, he'd help you in a heartbeat. But hell, half the time they won't even let him help other people because they're like, "You can't help them. You're supposed to be with Chief." You know what I mean? And so even if he doesn't work at the shop anymore, they're still acting like he can't help other people. So they're only going to show certain, 10% of your life, really. And unfortunately for Brandon, being at, you know, where he is, I mean, dude, I can't imagine all the people just egging him on, you know, because they're just picking on him and going at him. And, you know, it sucks, you know, but hopefully that's why I wanted to keep giving him chances racing his own car, because I know his car's fast. I've seen it go fast. It looks fucking killer. But man, dude, I saw it in El Reno.
Oh
not
yeah.
Too long ago. God damn, that car was sexy.
He had
that car looking right. So, and, you know, he's got an LS truck and stuff. I mean, you know, he's into the same shit we're into. You know what I mean? I mean, he'll even try to tune himself. He'll try and learn to tune. I wish he'd come back around, and I wish that he could be his genuine self. You know what I mean? And just try and come out a little more or whatever we got to do to help him. Because, you know, I miss seeing him out there, and I miss seeing you happier. You know, you're happier when he's there and you're doing good or you know what I mean? And you're more comfortable when he's around. And but when it turns into everybody shitting on your boy, I can see where you're coming from.
I mean, it's to the point, you know, where do I want him there and want him getting beat up on the internet, or do I say, "No, stay home, I got this," you know, that way I don't have to watch people pick on you.
God, that's
and
tough.
I'll deal with it myself. I definitely miss him being there.
Yeah, people think that we can all take this shit because we deal with it every day, and we can take somebody shitting on us on the internet or whatever. They say things like, "Just don't read it" or whatever, and it's like, you know, yeah, I've even said that before. I've told my wife, "Just quit reading that shit." You know what I mean? Quit reading it. It's just gonna eat you up. Just quit reading it. But at the same time, everybody goes to bed and I'm sitting there reading it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I'm just going, how can they fucking really believe that that's who I am? You know, like that's. I'd help anybody out there. I'd give anybody my fucking shirt off my back, you know, and how the fuck can they think that that's really who I am? But, you know, that's 10% of your life that they get to see and they get to judge you on it. And that's That's tough, man. It really is. So.
I mean, we all get bashed on. I mean, I got bashed on that same night that he got bashed on for wanting to bitch slap Asian. But what they didn't show is the reason I was pissed off is I opened the door and there's 10 cameras and 30 fucking people standing at the door of my shop when I had told them, do not film here because I don't want fucking people knowing where I keep my car. I opened the door. They had all snuck in, shut Farm Truck's truck off, rolled it up there. I opened the door and there's 5 cameras in my face and 30 people. What they didn't show is me chasing the fucking camera crew around. I was going to kick the shit out of anybody I could have got my hands on.
Because he don't dial 911.
You know. Yeah, no. Where it ain't. Right,
no. Once all, I get pissed off, I don't give a fuck.
Make it where it wasn't fun.
Yeah. We've all been in those situations where the producers and stuff, things start to get stale or they start to get weird and everybody would be in a good mood and then they have to spice things up. That's their job. And some of them do it conniving, backstabbing kind of ways. And some of them do it more with you than against you. And you have to, you know, you have to get in with the producer a certain relationship that you can all, you know, deal with each other. But in the beginning, man, there was a lot of times where shit like that happened where they tried to turn me against Sean. They tried to turn, you know, us against Flip. They tried to make all kinds of shit happen. Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't us. You know what I mean? And it's nice whenever we get to be us because there are real fucking arguments. There are real fights. There are real screaming matches.
They don't have
matches.
To make up all the drama. We have plenty of
it'll come.
Drama. Yeah.
It'll come.
And they were doing that stuff. Sometimes there was more drama behind the cameras than there was on the cameras. You know what I mean? And more drama us yelling at them than we were yelling at each other. Yeah. So, you know, that's what we're.
And when that happens, the show goes downhill.
Right. And we proved it. You know what I mean? And this next season that's coming out, man, I mean, it's some of the most real shit we've ever done. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Real racing, real fucking fighting, real arguments, real screaming matches. And we're getting back to doing what we do. And this next one coming up is going to be even better. I mean, we're really going to blow it out. And hopefully, you know, Brandon can come out a little bit and we can kind of get back to doing what we do. You know what I mean? And if they, you know, whatever we got to do, if they shit on him, you know, then he just fucking don't have one. Don't even have a Facebook or whatever the fuck they're going
to
do. Well,
I got him to come out a few more times.
I've seen him every once in a while, but he pretty much stays away from everybody because the cameras are there.
Yeah, he don't want to get hung up in some drama shit and have, you know, I mean, he's gun shy of that shit, and I can't say I blame him.
No, I don't
blame him at all.
So he pretty much sticks around the trailer and stays by my car, and he damn sure watches them when they go to sticking GoPros. He will crawl in somebody's ass if he thinks they're going to scratch that car.
Yeah.
And they will scratch the fuck
they
out
will.
Of it.
They will. They're tape fucking everywhere.
They'll slam a fucking door. Nobody knows the kind of shit that irritates you, you know. But, I mean, if you're
It took me 2 hours to get the fucking tape off of that roll cage when we were working on it.
Oh, dude, they run
there.
Tape across my fucking original dashboard of my car one time. When they ripped the tape up, it peeled all the fucking color off the dash. Yep. We bought a old truck one time that had
that we used the farm truck.
Yeah, the fake farm truck deal that we bought that truck and it had a perfect dashboard in it. Like
perfect.
Factory, no cracks or none. It's hard as fuck to find a truck with an original dash like that was not cracked all the shit. And first thing they did is fucking mounted a GoPro to it.
And it was the clamp one.
And they clamped it down and cracked it. Yeah, cracked it all the way across. We were just like, God,
are you
damn
fucking
it.
Kidding
yeah.
me?
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what happens when you got people that have no clue about cars at all.
Right, and it's hard to yell at them because they don't fucking know. Their job is just to make us look good. And so we got to be able to help them make us look good without fucking our shit up. But if we're not paying attention because we're doing other shit, then nobody understands why did he get mad over something that small on TV? Well, you may not know that we've been pissed off all day because they've been fucking our shit up or whatever. And then
we've been mad since this morning.
Yeah, they got stuck in the mud as soon as they pulled into the yard. We tell them to stay off the grass, and they pull in the yard and get all stuck.
They fucking buried 3 vans in my yard before. And then they used anything that they could to try to throw underneath the tires to get it out. And then when they finally got out, they left all that shit in the fucking ruts in my drive. I mean, there was cardboard. There was 2x4s. There was limbs from trees, everything just in
rocks.
My yard, in all them rocks, in all them ruts.
And, you know, but their job is to make us look good, and they got to do whatever they can do to make us look good, and we have to deal with it on both sides. And I'm sure we piss them off on a regular basis.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We don't understand the way they dress or the way they talk or the way they act. We don't understand the food they eat. And so
different breed of people.
Yeah, and so I'm sure it's a mutual hatred, but it's also, you know, it also makes for great television, but
yeah.
But that's, you know, 10% of Brandon, you know what I mean? So hopefully he can come back out. Hopefully we can, you know, get back to where you and him can have fun and do the fist bump before you race. Because that's fucking badass, dude. I only hope that when I'm old enough or when my kids are old enough that I'm not so crippled I can't climb in a race car, where he can come with me and my boy can do that same type of shit. That's fucking bad.
Well, I mean, that was normal routine, you know. Yeah. I never, you could stand there and pull me up all day long, but until he opened that door, fist bumped me and told me, "Be careful, Dad," that was just part of the routine. That kind of calmed me down and got me ready to do my thing.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I got the same type of deal with my crew guys, and certain things, you know, certain things have to be done or you just don't feel like you did it right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I mean, hell, I enjoy my dad being there with me. You know, I mean, he don't do a whole lot. He knows, you know, I mean, and just him being there, it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
it makes a big difference when you got your people with you.
I mean, hell, my boys, my pride and joy, my son, my daughter, you know, they're both my pride and joy. And I really enjoyed him being there. I mean, nothing makes you feel better than to bust somebody's ass in front of your son.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. When your kid thinks you're Superman, it's a fucking amazing
feeling.
Fuck
yeah. I mean,
you know, one of these days, my kids are going to realize that I'm not as cool as they think I am. But for right now, I'm fucking Big Chief on Street Outlaws, and they think that's fucking cool. So I'm going to ride that one for sure.
Hell yeah. I mean,
but I can't imagine people picking on my boys. I mean, you know, I would fucking.
There's no way not to get pissed off when that happens. I mean, even if he's in the fucking wrong, I'm still going to go to bat for him any day of the week.
You have to,
bro. I'll die for my fucking kids. It don't matter.
And these are things that I didn't even understand until having kids. And my kids are growing up and they're having their own little social lives and stuff, you know. And it's like, I didn't even, you know, understand it before. But, I mean, goddamn, you're right. I mean, I don't care if he's in the wrong or not. Let's rumble. You know what I mean? Let's do it.
Three things you don't fuck with: my family, my Skittles, or my beef jerky.
Oh, shit.
That's awesome, dude. All right. Kentucky.
Yes.
I feel like we have to do a pretty good segment of Facebook questions.
Yeah.
There's plenty of them.
Smoke now?
There's probably smoke.
Can y'all do this without me?
Yeah, we'll keep this short, bro. All right, so
there's probably more comments on this one than I've ever seen on.
A lot of people want to know.
Hey, a lot of people have been wanting him to come on.
So,
people, he's here. I'm just gonna ask this one real quick. I don't know who it's directed towards, but who would win a fight between a polar bear and a lion? I don't know, guys. It's just a question.
Weird. That's a weird question because obviously a fucking polar bear would win.
Yeah. I agree.
You can't. Why would you even ask that question?
Polar bear would fuck that lion.
I mean, they're like 2,000 pounds, and they're fucking. They can't feel shit because they're frozen, right? So that lion would get fucking.
That lion would be lunch.
Yeah, that polar bear would drop kick him in the street.
Yeah.
Monza, have you ever lost your sleeves to Derek?
Ooh. I have not.
You haven't.
No,
hey, there's very few people,
and I won't ever.
Hey, three
said,
people,
and I what?
And I won't ever. If I lose a race with Derek, I'll keep rolling that bitch right down the road all the way home.
You'll drive till you get home or run out of fuel.
Then I'll be on the phone. Come get me.
Hey, there's three people in this room though. That's like the majority. Everybody else on the show pretty much has.
Oh right? Yeah, none of us three have
us
lost.
Three.
No.
Nice. None of us have lost.
Nice job, guys.
I don't plan on starting now either.
Hell no.
I want him to stay away from me.
I got to race him. I got to come back up.
I'm going to have to soon.
Better start doing curls. Yeah. Getting ready.
What else we got?
Monza, what's your closest call with the cops?
St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, that was
close. We all sit there for 3 hours in our cars with the roads blocked off. I got Brandon sitting in the Monza with me, and he's 13 years old.
I forgot about that. That was a long time.
And I thought we were all going to jail that night.
Yep. That was St. Louis. What was that? 2000?
That was when I first met y'all.
That's the night Chief said, fuck yeah, he's going to race on this road because I told him this road's safe.
He said, Monza's going to race on this road because I'm fucking telling him he's going to race on this road. And Monza's just in his car going, hell yeah.
Smoking a cigarette.
Well, Monza's sitting in his car, and I walked over, and I said, hey, the road's shit. You know, this was way before the TV show. This was just
I first met you guys. This was the first trip I made out of town with you guys.
8 or 10 years ago, we're standing on the side of the road in St. Louis.
$12,000 cash
days. $12,000 on the line. And Monza's sitting in his car. He's going to race. He's got to race basically a pro mod back then to us. Zygote from Texas.
It was.
And he had to race him. And everybody was worried about the road because it was pitted and bumpy and it was fucked up. No
motherfucking
shit.
Small block 355 with a plate on it, and I'm fixing to run a ProMod.
Hey, the wheelie bars on that dude's car
were longer than the Monza.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
And I remember everybody bitching about the road, and I walked over to Monza, and I said, "Hey, you good?" And he goes, "If you say I'm good, I'm good." He said, "What do you think of the road?" I said, "I think it's total shit, but I don't think you got nothing to worry about." And he goes, "All right, well," he said, so you're good. You said, "I don't even need to get out and look at it then." So you sat in the car. When I said that, everybody freaked out because they thought I was talking shit or I was saying that you're going to do what I tell you to do. But when I said that, it was because they were trying to count you out of the race because he's pulling up.
He didn't want to race on it.
No, that other guy didn't want to race on that road. And so
he was trying to get Monza involved with not doing it.
I don't think we're going to do it. We're not going to race or whatever. And I was like, "What?" And he goes, "Well, you know, Monza, he don't want to race on it at all. Look at him." And I was like, "Monza's going to race on this fucking road because I told him he's going to race on this road and I told him it's fucking safe." And they were like, "Whoa."
I was like, "Fuck yeah."
And I looked over at Monza and I was just kind of like, "Hope you know what I mean, player. Hope you know."
Hey,
that,
Monza's,
you know,
over there. Hey, calm, cool, collected, smoking a cigarette in the Monza. Didn't even have his helmet on yet.
And pulled up there and fucking raced and went down that road and beat the guy.
Yep.
So, I mean, Chief's always took care of us.
Yeah.
You know, if he says my car, I can get it down the fucking road, then I would trust him. You know,
I'm not going to throw you down a fucking unsafe road. I knew that you'd been down roads that were worse.
I mean, I've been down Guthrie.
Dude, when you've been down Guthrie, it's tough to find a shittier road than that. So, you know, that was, and then he went down the road, he won, and then the cops showed up, and we were miles from our trailers and shit.
Yeah, we had drove our cars over there.
Yeah, and God, I thought we were all going to jail.
And I was telling my buddies, if I go to jail, y'all make sure Brandon gets home. My wife will kill me if he don't come home.
Yeah.
She probably don't give a shit what happens to me, but make sure Brandon gets home.
Yeah.
Good times.
Man. Okay, what else?
Do you work as hard as Derek?
Come on, man.
Nobody works as hard as Derek. I mean, he gets writer's cramp and shit.
Writer's cramp.
He works too damn hard for you to be fucking with him. Yeah.
Works too damn hard. Why do you hate Baron?
Ooh. Baron's a fucking douchebag. Plain and simple. He will stab you in the back and buy shit out from under you cheaper, or he'll pay money to more money to steal it from you. I mean, he's done it to me several fucking times. He's a fucking wannabe street outlaw.
Holy
him and fucking White Rhino ought to get an apartment together.
Oh, damn.
God damn, Monza's going off in the studio right now. Holy shit, he said.
Okay, people starting to see why we like Monza.
Now you know.
White Rhino talked more shit on us than anybody when we started doing this show, how we were fucking sellouts, and then he sucked everybody's dick he could to get his opportunity to get on there and fucking race.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Monza.
Dude, that's fucking awesome. I love it. He's going off.
Yep.
I just tell it like I see it.
Hey, calls it like you see it, big dog.
Yeah, hey. I think everybody saw it that way.
You don't, you know I'm right. One.
Everybody saw it that way.
Yeah, you don't down that one.
Street outlaw.
Street outlaw.
Street outlaw.
Oh, dude. Guys, hang on. Hang on. I got to say this, okay? So on the promos of the show, I always try and say it because they make me say it 50 different times. Coming up on Street Outlaws or whatever, right?
Street
and they make me say it 50 fucking times. So I get to the point where I just goof out and I just start saying as fucking stupid as I can. Well, those are the ones they use. So I've learned to just say it stupid. So I'll say like, next time on Street Outlaws. And I'll just say it like that. And they fucking use it and they love that shit. So now that's why I do it. Well, we're all sitting out there at a race and we're filming this night and we're all sitting out there and something had happened, and they were cleaning the road, or fuck, I don't even remember. We were waiting on somebody to put plugs in our car or something. It was taking fucking air. We're all sitting on the curb, basically.
And it was Monza was feeling good that night. His car wasn't there. He had a big cup of something.
And he was feeling good. He was
in a good mood.
Oh, yeah. He had the jeans with all the rips in them, you know. He was ready to go that night. He comes over there. We're all sitting on the curb, and it's like me, and then just down from me is White Rhino, Baron. Who else was down there? Dude, I don't know. There was five or six people down there sitting down there next to us. And Monza walks up and he just starts fucking dying laughing. We're like,
and he comes and whispers in my ear.
He wouldn't tell nobody what he was laughing at. We're all just like, what the fuck is he? He's just dying laughing. And we're in tears trying to figure out what he's laughing about. And he whispers something in Sean's ear. And then Sean falls out. I mean, he's in tears laughing. And I'm like, what the fuck? I got to know what the fuck this is. This has got to be the funniest thing ever. So finally, Monza comes and sits down next to me. He's giggling so hard he can't even say it. And he leans over and he tries to whisper it, but it comes out pretty loud. And he goes, look over there. He goes, Street Outlaws.
Dude, I fucking lost it. I fucking lost it. So from then on, every time he sees them or sees a group of wannabe Street Outlaws, he'll come over and go, look, look, Street Outlaws. And I fucking die laughing, dude. So when you hear me saying it like that, and you hear us say that, dude, it's because it's just the goofiest shit we could think of.
So if you hear us saying that, then look around because one of them does not belong. And that's kind of what he was getting at. Didn't belong was over talking to Chief. Yeah, and that's what made it even funnier was all the people who.
No, they were sitting like two people down from Chief trying to listen to everything he was saying. They're doing this. Yeah.
Trying to get in on stuff.
Yeah. Baron, White Rhino, and a few guys. And God, dude, it
was so funny.
He was giggling, and we were all.
And then
the more
he giggled, the more I laughed. Dude,
nothing more irritating than somebody getting on there for one freaking race, and then the next day you look on Facebook and they're advertising they want to do events all over the United States.
Yeah, at all the pawn shops.
Give me a fucking break.
And the five and dime.
Come as seen on Street Outlaws.
Yeah.
God, that's funny.
Yeah, at Coin Op Laundromat, you know, over there signing autographs. Yeah.
Sitting out front of the Dollar General.
Yeah, I'll be over at the Southside Dollar General, you know, from 4 to 6.
Yeah, we're going to have the White Rhino on the property.
They got Sharpies in sale inside.
White Rhino going to be on the property.
Shirts, hats, koozies, keychains, we got it all.
Hmm.
All right.
Oh,
sorry.
Man.
Okay, a lot of people have been seeing pictures of your car on Facebook, and you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, but they were wondering, you know, what kind of, you know, wintertime mods are you making to your car?
Just mainly a major diet. It's going to be a tube chassis car. I mean, yeah, everybody calls it a fucking pro mod, but the wheelbase is
steel
stock.
Steel quarters and roof, right?
Steel quarters, steel roof. I mean, strut front end. I mean, I got to make the fucking car lighter, you know? To compete, it's got to be lighter.
Evolution.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Got to evolve.
I mean, when we started this deal, we put a big-ass freaking bullseye on our back, and now we got to do what we got to do to remain at the top of our game.
Oh, yeah. Eventually, the motors get bigger, the turbos
get bigger.
More nitrous kits, bigger tires, lighter cars. It's just evolution, man. It's how you race.
I mean, I don't plan on laying down. I'm not going to make the bitch, you know. It's going to get faster every year. Yep. I'm old, but I ain't dead.
Yep.
Motherfuckers, I'm 49 years old, but I still hold my own pretty fucking good.
And I believe that no matter what happens, no matter where this goes, there will never be a time that you draw Monza's name out of the hat and you think to yourself, good job, nice, you know what I mean?
Definitely
every time,
not me.
Every time you draw Monza and every time you line up next to Monza, you're going to be thinking, shit, the same thing you're always thinking.
I don't think me and Monza's ever had a race that wasn't within half a car.
Hmm. Yeah, they've all been pretty good. I mean, when it gets to the point where I can't be competitive, and I'm talking about with you guys because you guys are our fastest.
And we're talking about with you. We're the same. We're all together. I mean,
when I get to that point where I can't be competitive, there's no reason for me to do this any longer. And I'm not ready to fucking lay down and give up yet.
Fuck no. You ain't trying to go hang out at the Dollar General.
Fuck no.
You could go do appearances with the White Rhino.
I'm not going to be that guy sitting over there they look at and go, Street Outlaw.
And then you look around and you're not laughing, but everybody else is. And you're like, what the fuck? I'm him.
Yeah. Motherfuckers are laughing at me. I'll be breaking my other fucking hip.
That's not going to happen. Yeah. What else you got, Kentucky?
Oh, this is a pretty good question. Would you ever consider going turbo, or would you stay with nitrous?
Ooh. For now, I'll stay nitrous. I'm not saying when this is all over, maybe turbo when I have time to learn it. Right now, the learning curve would kill me, and I'd be bumped off the fucking list before I could get it figured out.
Yeah, that's the thing is when we do these seasons, man, when you start filming, we usually film 8 or 10 episodes in 8 to 12 weeks. So we're filming one episode a week. There's no time to learn anything. If your shit's off, you're going to start losing races.
Fucking turbos are cool. I mean, when Birdman's shit pulls to the line and it's spitting and puking and farting all over the fucking place, that's cool as shit.
Yeah.
They are cool. But there is a learning curve, and it's a different type of racing. It's nowhere near the same type of racing that the nitrous cars, you know, are able to do. So there's definitely a lot of learning curve there. I wouldn't recommend it in the middle of a season, or if you only got a month before the next season, you know what I mean? There's better things you can do in that time. But yeah, you know, if you ever get a big break and you want to learn it, we're down to help. You know
I mean, and I'm, my thoughts are maybe when this show's over, I would like to do drag week, and in order for me to do that, I need a turbo car.
Yeah, it helps. It definitely helps. Yeah, when to compete at the highest level of drag week and stuff like that, the turbos are really the way to go, because everything else is just hard on the street. It's hard to drive on the street.
They're fast bitches. Both y'all's cars, Lutz's car, they're fast as fuck, and they're cool as fuck. I mean, it's just right now it would take a lot of money to change it over, and it'd be a big – I mean, I have a hard time fucking reading data. Yeah. I used to let Brandon do all that, and he don't show up anymore. So now I'm still trying to figure that shit out.
Yeah,
so.
We were at a race, and I lost my data card for my data logger, and I couldn't find one. And I was like, well, Monza's got one of those. He's got the same one I got. Alicia, go over and ask him if we can borrow his card. And I think his words were, well, yeah, I don't know what to do with it, or what I'm even supposed to.
Where is the fucking thing?
Yeah, I mean, that motherfucker, I've never pulled it out. There's probably 150 passes on it.
It's full. It's fooled up.
Yeah, that's great.
This is a question for all you guys. What was your first car?
1968 Chevy Noel. 1970 Dodge Challenger was my first one, but my dad sold it 3 days before I got my license because he went and drove that bitch and figured out it'd lay fucking rubber until you let off.
Motor ran. Did you have a mullet?
So, huh?
I've seen pictures of you from back in the day.
No, mine wasn't a mullet. My front was as long as my back. I wore it in
Dave
ponytail.
Dave had a good mullet.
Dave, yeah. Dave had.
So my actual first car that I got to drive was a 68 El Camino.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Fucking oh, A, yeah. Man.
Fucking right. That's America.
What'd
right
you do
there?
In the bed of that thing? Sorry, I don't want to get
that
you
motherfucker was a turd. It had a 307 with a 2-speed power glide. It wouldn't do a burnout on gravel unless you had your buddies bouncing up and down on the back of the car.
No, but you can hit the highway in first gear at about 80 mile an hour.
Yeah, about 70, slam that bitch in low, and then she'd take off. It was something.
Oh, man. That's great. My first car was a 1972 Pontiac Le Mans.
Nice.
And eventually
turned it into a GTO.
And then eventually turned that into a yard sale. Nice. So.
Mine was a 68 Chevy long bed pickup, C10.
Fuck yeah.
Sean, farm truck. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Manza's Monza?
Wait a minute, Kentucky, what the fuck was your first car, bitch? You don't get out of that.
It was
S10.
Yeah, it was a 91 S10.
What the fuck? Don't I have that? What's wrong with
S10? It had hydraulics on it. It was pretty sweet.
That is fucking sweet. Be proud of your heritage.
What color was it?
Oh, it was bright ass. It looked like Boosted's car. Bright ass yellow. It was ugly. I thought it was cool, though.
Hell yeah, you did.
Mine was primary.
Had a neon light for a shifter knob.
Monkey, what was your first car? An 83 Toyota Celica.
I wish you still had that.
Oh, still do.
Was it a four-door?
Oh, you
a
two-door.
What do you mean?
It looks like a Mustang. It looks like a Fox car.
What do you mean you wish he still had it? That's Monkey. Sweet. He still has everything.
Oh, you still got it?
Like when we. That's why I had to clean out the fucking
He won't tell you what kind of shape it's in. That's
it. Yeah, no, he's still yellow and white.
He probably painted it himself.
You should put a 2JZ in that bitch.
I wish.
Phantom, your first car. 88
GMC. Oh, your dad still has it.
Lowrider. Was it?
Drives it back and forth to work. I bought it when I was 15. Drove home from
Earlsboro. That's where they build good chassis out there. Old Don Dahl.
Yeah.
All right on. That's a fucking fun question. We should ask everybody.
Wow. Yeah.
Question.
No, that is a cool question. We should put that on our top 10 list.
But then there's not a.
That's not just a.
Yeah. That's
not a multiple choice, is it?
Multiple choice.
No.
Well, I guess we can make it whatever the fuck we want, though, right?
Yeah. It's our list. We'll worry about that later.
What else you got?
How light are you trying? What weight are you trying to get to on your car?
Is that your question? Or?
No.
It's weird.
I was just trying to read it.
Yeah, the way they.
I wonder if I mean, it kind of seems like Kentucky's doing some work for us right now.
Hey, what the hell's going on here?
He's like,
I mean, you don't have to answer it. It was on here.
It don't matter. We're shooting for 2,500 with me in the car.
Holy shit.
Nice.
That's a fucking light bitch there.
Damn.
that motherfucker, I guarantee you, when Terry Murphy goes through one of them, there's not anything left on there that don't have to absolutely be there.
I have seen the aftermath of Terry Murphy race cars and Blake Housley. When Terry and Blake jump on one, there will not be anything on the car that doesn't have to be there. And anything that does have to be there will either have holes shot through it or it'll be made of titanium or carbon fiber. Those guys are serious.
I went up there last week and I got me this cool on-off lever for my nitrous line from NX. And by God, I got my ass chewed out for an hour because that son of a bitch was too heavy. We're going to put this one on here. This one's 6 ounces lighter.
Yep. 6 ounces. That's the way lighter. They are. That's yeah. the way they are.
Dude. But he said every little bit adds up, and, you know, it's going
to
be light.
Yeah. Yeah. Those guys I'm scared to death for them to see my car now because, you know, they built the chassis in mine and they originally put that thing together. And then now we've worked on it for a few weeks now. And I'm scared to death if he shows up and Blake or Terry see the car now, that they're going to pick it apart for the heavyweight shit that I've put on it, you know, because they're just – everything with those guys is lightweight for sure. So, hell, I was telling them that we couldn't fit the ProMod turbos behind the tires. Like, we had to go to the smaller turbos, the same shit turbos I've been running. They're fucking badass turbos, really. Like, I mean, I call them shit turbos because they're not ProMod turbos, you know, but everybody runs those big ProMod 88 turbos. And I run the smaller cast, you know, 88 turbo, but it's like, I don't know, it works really well with my combination. I'll just put it that way. It's a really good front half type deal rather than a back half type deal. But, and yeah, they've, you know, they're fucking 8 years old or something crazy. So anyway, long story short, I was telling him I couldn't fit the ProMod turbos on the car. And then he said, well, what's the weight difference? And I said, well, the ProMod turbos are 6 pounds heavier than mine. He goes, I don't give a fuck how badass those turbos are. No turbo is worth 12 pounds. And I was like, really? And he was like, I don't give a shit. He goes, if they make lighter turbos than that, put them on. I was like, okay, man. Like, those guys are serious about weight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got a different radiator, different fan. They took the whole front subframe. The front subframe out of that car weighed 230 pounds.
Holy shit. Wow.
After all the lightning that had been done on it originally, so... I can definitely see 500 or 600 pounds he's took out of the car. I don't know what he'll have to put back in it.
Yeah, those guys are wicked smart and serious about weight for sure. And I'm pretty sure that they listen to the podcast. Not 100%, but
listener number 7.
I think they do. I'll be back up there tonight.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever happened to the guy that you roundhouse kicked breaking into the smart truck? And have you ever considered a career in the MMA?
No MMA for me. I'm too old for that shit. Actually, the guy I kicked called the police on me.
Called the what?
The police.
Police.
Called the police.
And they showed up and asked him if he had stole my shit, and the dumb bastard admitted to stealing my tackle box, so they took his ass to jail.
But he called the cops on you kicking him?
Yeah.
After he took your shit?
Yeah.
Well, see there? It never pays to call the cops.
The cop come in my house and he's like, are you all right? Dude, I walked across the street into the house with a broken hip.
Jesus Christ.
And once I told my old lady, I sat there about an hour. I'm like, I sit here and shake this off. I'll be fine. And it was no shaking it off. Nope.
Man's an American badass. That's what your shirt should say.
Yep.
American badass.
Yeah, man's got to do what a man's got. I ain't going to get bulldogged by nobody. Fuck it. I mean, that was the third or fourth time. He had stole my ladders and all kinds of shit. I knew who it was. My neighbors had seen him. I just happened to run across him walking down the road as I was coming back from eating dinner. And I'm like, I lost it. I didn't even think about what I was doing.
This is another good one. this is for everybody, too. What was your first race car?
Same. Mine's same.
Everything I've ever been in has been a race car.
Even your 68. Even your 68.
I thought it was at the time. Hell yeah, I thought it was a race car.
It's got a fucking lightning bolt on it, doesn't it?
It had a clutch. That motherfucker had a clutch. Hell yeah, it was a race car.
My first fast car or the first car I raced?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The problem. We raced everything.
There's a big difference.
Basically, race car, I guess. Fast car. Whatever.
Mine was a 69 Camaro then.
72 Le Mans.
Still waiting. My first one that was half-assed fast was probably, I had the 77 Camaro that ran pretty good, but right after that I built the 70 Nova that was faster.
I bet you did have a 77.
You used to have
Camaro.
A 70 Nova?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You got any pictures of it?
No, when my house burnt down, I lost all the pictures.
Oh,
I don't have nothing. I lost everything I owned in 99 when my house burnt down.
Jesus Christ.
I don't even have pictures of my kids when they were little.
No shit.
Mm-hmm. I got out with a pair of boxer shorts, and that was it.
You probably still got those.
I ended up at fucking Red Cross. Put us in a fucking hotel, and church donated his fucking clothes because we had no insurance in 99 and absolutely had. I got out with my fucking boxer shorts on in my truck. I got my truck out of the garage.
Jesus Christ.
And we lost everything we owned. Everything I've got now I've acquired since. It was the night of the Super Bowl in 1999. Our dryer outlet shorted out, caught the house on fire while we were in bed. And my old lady just happened to hear something funky and woke us up. And we got everybody out of the house just in time.
Wow. Holy shit. I'll be checking my dryer plug tonight.
Yeah. I'll unplug mine from now on until I need it.
Shit.
How many times a week do you have the urge to slap Chief and Sean? At least 5 cents.
I'm not around him that
asking
much.
Ask him that Tuesday morning after the show airs Monday night, and we talk shit on him on the show. Ask him Tuesday morning if he wants to smack us, and I guarantee you he does.
Yeah. I got nothing against Chief and Sean.
We love
people. Him. People think I do, or they think we clash. But I mean, we have our differences, but I think we're friends.
Yep.
Well, of course.
I mean, either one of you motherfuckers could call me at 4 o'clock in the morning and tell me you were broke down, and I'd jump in my truck and come help you.
Yep. And same to us. Same. Here,
would you rather sleep in the same bed as Sean on a pissy drunk night or get beat by Chuck?
Oh, why they gotta bring Chuck in?
Hey, I don't.
Poor Chuck.
I don't want anybody pissing on me. I'd rather get beat by Chuck.
You want to do your top 10 list?
Yeah, let's rock to the top 10 here, and we're gonna let Manza go smoke. All right, here we go. Just like we have a top 10 list on the show, we have one here in the studio, or whatever you call this fucking place full of bullet holes.
Shack.
Fucking. All right, so top 10 questions. I'm going to fire them off at you, and you say the first thing that comes to mind, or what you favor towards. Carbureted or fuel injected?
Carburetor.
Boom. Now, at one time, you were thinking about it.
I was until I seen some of the issues some of the people were having. And
Like who?
Yeah. I'm not going to go there.
Come on now.
Look, Dominator and Derek.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I have a hard enough time reading fucking race pack data. I don't need to be making no fuel maps and fuel tables and all that bullshit.
Yeah. All right. Number 9, farm truck or Asian?
Asian.
Really?
Oh, wow.
That was quick, dude.
It was.
That was quick. Number 8. Big tire or small tire?
Big.
Oh. But you had fun on small tires.
I
had. You won a lot of racing.
Racing small tires teach you how to drive for sure.
Yeah, that ain't no shit. Number 7. If you were to go to the racetrack, would you rather go to a grudge race or a no prep?
Grudge race.
Grudge race. Nice. Man, I'm the same way, dude. Fucking grudge racing is fun. God damn, that shit's fun. But you got to be fast. Them dudes are fucking fast. And you got to know what
fast
the fuck
on the track
about.
And fast in the negotiation.
Yeah, you got to know what the fuck
they're
talking about.
The thing about them motherfuckers is they're all fucking liars.
What do you mean them?
Yeah, I got them. My car runs 470s and they pull out there and run a fucking 390.
Yeah. They are tricky.
They are. They'll lie to you quick.
Too. Lying motherfuckers.
Oh,
we're going to get in so much trouble. Okay. Yeah. Number 6, Marlboro Reds or Camel filters?
Marlboro Red.
Number 5, nitrous or turbo? We already kind of went over this, but.
For now, nitrous.
Number 4, shaved or hairy?
Shaved.
Ooh.
Most definitely.
And we ain't talking about his face.
No, because he don't shave that.
Number 3. This one's going to be tough for you because you've done both and you've done well with both. Small block or big block?
Big block.
Big block.
Right on. So much more forgiving.
That ain't no
it deal. Is.
Number 2. Doc or Monza? Yeah.
You should have did Chief or Sean.
Hey, there you go. Chief or Sean.
Not even going there.
Come on, Chief or Sean.
Both of y'all are said. I like them both.
Here. It don't
we're
matter.
Big boys, we can take it. Chief no, or Sean.
I like you both.
Come on, pick one. Chief or Sean.
This is fucked up. Put Chief. Me on the spot.
That's Chief. Fucked up. Chief or Sean.
Next question, please.
Chief or Sean. Come on. Chief or Sean. We're not going to get mad.
My
unless
bad.
You say Sean.
My bad.
I I'm not answering it. You might as well go on.
Okay. Number one, I think I know the answer. Street or track?
Street.
Definitely. All right. There it is. The very, very special edition of the Chief and Sean Show with special guests.
Special guests.
It's in the book. So it today, is. We've been able to talk about Monza. We've talked a little bit about the show we're not supposed to talk about.
Street Outlaws.
There we go. Nailed that part.
Street Outlaws.
Street Outlaws.
So if we're going to get taken off the air, it's probably going to be now.
Yeah, I'm going to get hate mail out the ass from all the albino wino fans.
Albino wino. That's a good one.
Hey, that's one thing we didn't really talk about is all the great one-liners that Monza comes up with.
Remember what he called it? The no-show Sonoma?
Yeah, the no-show Noma. No-show Noma.
Somebody the other day said something might. I'm like, might? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, might's what you find on a chicken's ass.
He's got a lot of good
He came up with the whole chicken shittery.
Chicken shit.
The chicken every shit.
Man, when you
came strictly from Monza.
When you say chicken shit, that's from Monza. Because everything somebody did, Monza would say, that's chicken,
fucking chicken shit.
Chicken shit, motherfucker.
We use that all the time.
Chicken shittery going on. He makes it where it ain't fun.
Yeah.
Drove around him like they were tied to a stump.
Like they were tied to a stump.
Yeah. He's got some great one-liners.
He does.
Yeah, he does.
If they come natural... It's great. If you try and fucking come up with shit like Doc, you look like a fucking dork.
Wow.
He tries too hard.
Yeah, he takes
it to a whole other level.
He makes it creepy.
He makes it where it ain't fun.
He makes it where it ain't fun. He makes it fucking weird.
We could do this all day.
We could. Right. We better quit.
We're out. Thanks for listening.
It's a great show. Good job, Monza. Thanks for coming.
If you're listening on iTunes, go write us a review. That's what's going to make a difference in the charts. Speed Society hosting the podcast. You can find them all on Speed Society's website, or you can find them at MidwestStreetCars.com. Go support Monza, Sinister Split Bumper Monza Facebook, and then hit him up on his website, SinisterSplitBumper.com. All the questions we got came from the Chief and Sean Show Facebook page. And thanks to our 11s of listeners now. We're officially 11s of listeners.
That's right. We're moving on up, baby.
Moving on up. All right, Monza. Crank Hair Nation, rock and roll, fucking yes.
Let's go smoke a cigarette.
We're all doing the fucking heavy metal rocker fucking signals right now. All right. See you later, guys. Thank you.
Take care.